recover from the weekend.
modern technology problems are driving me nuts over here. Somehow I got logged out of everything over the weekend. Now I'm trying to re-log into everything, and it's not letting me log into Twitter.
Well, we saw.
This is driving
me insane.
Usually
it's when there's updates, like system updates.
Like what?
Reboots.
This is driving me absolutely insane.
So there's other things where technically you're supposed to sign out of your thing, user.
Nah, I'm not signing out. Come on. I'm not
saw a little
that.
Directive from the brand man.
Is it going to log out of everything? Well, this is my laptop. I'm not doing it. It's not a work. My laptop's
totally
not letting
different.
Me in. Yes.
That probably meant you had like some system upgrade behind the scenes that happened, and then it, yeah.
This is not necessary, okay? We got too many updates in life, all right?
We do have too many updates.
Fewer updates.
I'm tired of, yes.
What presidential candidate will run on that? Stop asking me to update my technology. I'm happy with the way
technology
things are.
Shouldn't be that obsolescent so quickly.
Every month and a half, I get a new prompt.
Exactly.
You want the new software? No, I don't want the new software.
What's the problem with rotary phones?
The old software's working just fine. I got no issues here, man.
I don't have any issues.
So that's what we're doing
today.
And
then they tell you it's better and go, how is it better?
It's not better. This is not better in any way, shape,
There's
or form.
There's more functions and buttons and now whistles and menus that I'm not going to use.
Now I got to learn new stuff?
I don't care about video.
No.
I work on radio.
Thank you. Amen, brother. Good weekend in Bend. We have a good time over there?
We had a great time.
Central Oregon delivered as it always does.
Yeah.
Kiddo's doing good.
Kiddo is doing good. He had a great time at the concert. Bumped into Joey Harrington over there in the fair.
Joey Harrington walking around?
Yeah.
In Bend or at OAR?
In Bend.
In Bend.
So we went somewhere. We got there over there noon. It's like, let's go get some lunch.
Yeah, grab a bite to
eat. So go to this place, cool place over on the west side of Bend. And so you walk in downstairs. And there's the bar, with many taps, perfect for everybody, because it has many taps, many selections from the beers, which I know you enjoy.
You got to have your choices.
But you also had the full bar, cocktails, whatever you wanted.
In case you need it.
So there were a couple of food kiosks inside.
Ooh.
Because you have to sell, as we know in Oregon,
you
if you want your liquor license, there has to be hot food options.
Yeah, you got to have food with
but
booze.
Then right outside in the parking lot, 7 food trucks lined up.
Those places are incredible.
With other options.
Yeah, they're so perfect because then everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
Because you go one place
but
and
it's not all the
I'm
responsibility
this.
Of said establishment to try to come up with food to keep everybody happy.
No, it's brilliant. Everybody goes and stands at their own food truck pod.
They
get
your
food.
Little beeper buzzer thing.
Buzzes, and then you go
upstairs,
sit at your table.
Upstairs, there were a couple of pool tables.
Look at that.
Massive screen TV up there.
Hey.
And then they had the outside with covered area.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's a win-win-win right there.
I don't
there.
Think Joey recognized me.
Did you go say hi to him?
I did not. I was right there waiting for my drinks at the bar. He's there. He was with his wife and kids, so it wasn't like he was with his boys or anything like that. It's with the family. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah. Don't want to go do that.
I mean, I might have said, other people, oh, it's Joey. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Guy's just trying to enjoy a night out with his family. You know?
Exactly.
Probably
nice afternoon.
Beautiful day.
Now, I don't know if they went to the concert or not.
Okay, so was before the concert?
This
is the pre-concert?
This is like 1 in the afternoon.
Oh, so you're just getting going on your trip then. You're just
exactly.
getting fired
we
up
We got
ready to go.
There. We dropped our stuff off.
Yeah.
Everybody's hungry for lunch after a 3-hour drive.
Get ready to go. I do. It is the modern design of the food truck pod is remarkable.
There are several places in Bend,
I mean,
and they've nailed it. Now, they got a little more space in some of these to spread out, whereas in
it's
a big
nice.
City like Portland, you're trying to carve out.
It's a little difficult.
So usually what it is there's some sort of tap house or bar that's got a permanent establishment because you got to have refrigeration for the bar and that sort of thing. And then there is any level of seating, whether it's all outdoors or whether some of it's indoor, outdoor, covered, whatever.
A little bit of a combo.
And then over next to the parking lot, there will be little bays or something for the food trucks to all line up.
Yeah, how those, it would be hard for me to imagine one of those not succeeding. Because you can have food trucks that come and go and they rent out their spaces and all that.
Yeah.
Because somebody owns the property and then you rent out your little square footage of your food truck and all that. But there's one in our neighborhood, but it does not have the beer option, which is the only downside of it.
So what are they selling?
I mean, it's just a food truck pod. They just have food trucks, and there's like 10 of them in there that you could go choose from.
Yeah.
But it's a great place to go because everybody ends up being happy because you got nights where...
Exactly.
Yes, what are you in the mood for dinner? And the wife tells you one thing. You're like, it doesn't really sound good. Who knows what the kid's going to want to eat at that point, right? And so
now,
you go, and you're like, all right, I got choices here. I got options.
There is one I went to one time. We were over... This was back Memorial Day when I I was trying to be an indoor goalie again and hurt for 4 days afterwards.
Yeah, so your indoor soccer career?
Yeah, so over on 99, as it is no longer MLK.
Yes.
Going, is it MLK that goes south or is that Grand that goes south? Whichever one goes south.
I know what you're talking about.
So over in that neck of the woods where the Hawthorne Bridge comes over.
Yes.
There is a food cart pod, but they have an indoor bar full cocktail.
Ooh.
That is not far from
That's not too far at all, no.
And so that is something.
The bar component takes it to another level. When you could get.
There were TVs in there too.
Yeah. When you get the bar and when you get the TV and the booze component to go with the food options, the places are perfect. It's literally all you need.
That's not far from you. You should check that out.
It's not bad at all. There was one when we lived out in the Happy Valley area.
Place there too that was fantastic.
I love a good cheesesteak. I don't eat enough cheesesteaks. Cheesesteaks are something in my rotation that could definitely increase. I don't get enough of them. We have a cheesesteak
place.
Are you full
onions, peppers guy?
Oh, the whole thing. Yeah. The whole
mushrooms or not? Mushrooms are the one that people like.
I could do the mushrooms. I don't need the mushrooms.
Right. You're not asking for mushrooms. If it comes with mushrooms, I'm not kicking them out.
Mushrooms for me are something where if it's not a dominating flavor or texture, I can handle it.
Now, do you like raw mushrooms in your salad?
God,
when you
no.
eat a salad?
God, no. I would never eat a raw mushroom to save my life. No, not in a million years. I'm out on mushrooms in that way. But if you cook them and they're mixed in with the food and it's an enhancer of flavor, then I can live with
them. See, I love that on...
you just bite into a mushroom, just grab one and gnaw
No, I will put raw mushrooms. We'll chop them up, but in a spinach salad, they go good with bacon.
Throw a little mushroom in there.
If you do a traditional spinach salad with bacon and hard-boiled egg and some red onion and... Yeah.
This is the idea of eating raw mushroom. It's like that's like my my mayo or strawberry for you. The look of them, the texture of them, the smell of it, just
that was my mom, so I didn't eat there was always appealing. A battle, my mom and dad growing up.
Dad wanted mushrooms.
Dad loves mushrooms.
Mom wanted nothing to do.
Like she can spot a mushroom from 4 miles.
Get these out of here. Get these out of my food.
Get that out of
I'm
there.
Not eating that. Now I gotta go pick that out. Mushrooms on pizza, I'm out on mushrooms on pizza. I know some people love the mushroom on pizza.
Here's the problem I have with most places that do pizza with olives and mushrooms. They just way overdo it.
Yes. If there's like three of them on a slice, that's okay.
It's
but it's
you're
as prevalent.
So stingy with the meat. Oh, olives and mushrooms. Boom. Right. Just, you know.
Yeah, I need more meat than I need mushrooms on my pizza.
Drop an excavator bucket worth of them on there. It's like, no, where's the meat?
No, I need more meat. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend. Concert was good. OAR delivered, as always.
OAR delivered. Yeah. Everybody had a great time.
It's a good summer vibe music.
Yep.
It's a good thing. If you're outside, beers
remember
are flowing.
Who Gavin DeGraw was. I knew him, and he had a song.
Right.
Far more talented. You would actually like him. He's more on the bluesy rock.
Yeah. I'm not against OAR. I can get down with some OAR.
It was great. They did some covers. And OAR had Lisa Loeb was first. We did. If you ever go to a concert in Bend, they start right on time.
They do.
Like it was supposed to start at 5:30, which is early for a concert.
That's
but you have three
early.
Acts,
right?
And they do have a strict like 10 p.m. They got to be done there for the noise.
I mean, I don't want to be at a concert past 10 p.m. Anyways, it's perfect. Might as well start it a little bit earlier.
It depends on certain concerts. We were like, well, we don't need to get down there like right away,
right?
Her last song as we were walking in about six.
Whoa. Usually you just give yourself 30 minutes.
But they brought
minutes.
Her out, did a song with the band. Then Gavin DeGraw came out and they did a cover. And so it was all good.
OAR delivers as always in the middle of the summer. Well, I hope everybody had a great weekend. It was a big weekend in the Dirt household. Big weekend
us. What happened?
We made we have started the transition. Out of a crib into a big boy bed.
To a big boy bed.
This is a big development.
Now, does one side have like the little safety rails, the guardrails?
We're currently going mattress on the floor surrounded by pillows.
Oh, okay.
So thinking that would, I want him to get used to not rolling off of the bed. We'll eventually get one that has the railings on the side of it.
Okay.
And, it was crazy to think about that, like, maybe crib life's already over. Part of this is also, I don't want to have to buy another crib.
Yeah, we don't need two cribs.
Ridiculously wasteful.
Because you're going to have it for a short period of
time.
Right,
so we might as well nip this in the bud right now.
Let's just start.
Take this bee down, moving into the nursery.
Now, you got the super thick plastic mattress cover.
We do not have a super thick plastic mattress cover. No, okay. Not at all. Am I supposed to have that?
Well, some people do. you know, little extra protection in case the diaper's absorbency in the night doesn't hold up.
Yeah, no, we didn't cover it with plastic. It hasn't been too big of an issue. Occasionally, there's a little bit of leakage, but usually it's just the PJs and a, you know, a little blanket or something that ends up getting a little wet, and you wash it the next day. Mattress has been pretty resistant. It was funny seeing what, because you're kind of watching, like, how's this going to work out? Is he going to be able to figure this out? And at one point on Saturday night, we had face on the floor, feet up in the hair on top of the mattress. I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. We'll see how long this lasts for. And then last night, I'm pretty sure he woke up three times, went back to bed on his own pretty decently, so it wasn't too bad.
Did he end up sleeping in his bed, though?
he ended up last night a couple of times just literally like rolling halfway across the floor, because once he gets rolling, he doesn't stop rolling. He just keeps going. We're like, you wake up all of a sudden in the middle of the night, you're like, what's going on here? I'm laying on the hardwood floor here. I'm going to have to get up and figure this out.
Now, do you close all the way his door?
It's a combo, right? Usually starts closed, and then if we have a rough night, the door will eventually be left open in order for, hey, we're right here, buddy. We're right here if you need us. So last night, the door did end up open. But it was, you know, look, when you make an adjustment like that, it was quite the move, and now I'm fingers crossed. I don't know how long, and we're going to eventually do the frame and the railings on the side and all that, but I had somebody tell me the idea of putting the mattress on the floor. And I was like, you know what? That sounds pretty reasonable. We got enough pillows to kind of surround it. Yeah. If he kind of flops off, but I, you know, you got to work on not moving so much at night, buddy. We can't just be rolling halfway across the room. We're doing bear crawls all the way across this thing. So that was how the weekend went for the dirt household. And it's now becoming, now that we've moved the crib into the nursery, it's becoming very real. It's like one of those, like, oh yeah, we're almost there. It's almost time. It's almost go time. But you know what we got this weekend?
How's Mama doing?
Mama's doing good. You know, for as good as you can do, 7+ months pregnant. She's
How much differentiation is she noticing this time from first time?
It's hard. She tries to say this feels different. I just don't remember. It was all a blur, and now it's like, I don't remember how you were carrying or how you, I just remember it was big. That, you know, it was big and then it popped out. That's all I got in my memory bank. Did he carry more on the right side or the left side? I'm like, I'm just trying to get him to sleep tonight. I don't remember how he carried when he was a baby.
Have you gotten to a point where you've nailed down, if it doesn't come by here, we're going in?
Yeah, so we got some more appointments to go to figure that out. We might have to do the C-section route, which would bring it a little bit earlier if that ends up happening. So we could be anywhere from the end of September to the end of October. That's our window right now.
What did the doctor tell you the expected?
I think it's the 12th. October 12th is the expected date. So if we got to go C-section, you got to do it a couple of weeks early, make sure it doesn't happen.
Gotcha.
And then if you don't need a C-section, then it could happen literally at any moment.
Yeah.
Then you're waiting. There's a part of me that wants the C-section just to know the date. The idea of waking up every day and like, is today the day? Is today the day? Am I going to be at work when it happens? Is it in the middle of the show? And I got to bolt out of here to get to the hospital?
For Mama's sake. If she can do it.
On natural.
But,
well, not on natural. We're going to get a
C-sections. Big,
it's a lot, man. And it'll affect my leave, too, depending on if we got surgery.
Yeah,
that goes
you're going to be. Yeah, she ain't getting
We're all hands on deck for a little bit there.
It's a couple of weeks.
A little bit of a process there. Yeah. That's the way that thing's going to play out. We do have the baby showers this weekend, so that is now on our radar. We are now in the baby shower phase, and that will be this weekend. My only request was, if you're going to do a baby shower, it has to be before football season, and so it's the week before week zero of college football.
Is this just more family and couples, or is this?
Small, low-key, nothing but family.
Yes.
We don't need much because it's two boys.
Cocktails all around.
Once you got it,
keg, something.
Now we're talking. I will be there. My presence has been requested.
Okay.
And I will be there.
So is this like couples things, like there'll be other dudes there?
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Right. We'll fight through it. It'll create some good content. We'll do that on that'll be on Sunday.
Are we done with the stupid games, though?
I don't believe there will be any games.
No baby food tasting.
I don't think there's any baby food tasting. Okay. We know the sex. There's no gender reveal. There's nothing. It
just come. Have some really good food.
Eat some pastries.
Thank
open
you
up
for
a couple
gifts.
Of gifts. We love you all, and good night.
Here's an update on what we're planning in the situation and all the contingencies.
Right. Here's where we're at.
Oh, geez.
So that's where my life's at, in case anybody's wondering.
All righty.
We're getting closer and closer, baby. The finish line is nearly here.
All right.
And it's almost football season.
Can we sneak you out for golf sometime?
I need to get one or two more rounds in before football season begins. Yeah. I have not played golf since Father's Day. How was Elk Ridge? Was it nice?
Elk Ridge was fantastic.
Well-maintained, not too crowded on a Friday afternoon?
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
uncrowded.
I think that would probably be people a little worried about the smoke, maybe worried about getting up there and how's it going to look? What are the conditions? Should I roll the dice?
Outstanding.
Could lead to some good golf rounds. I remember that the last time we had the fires. Now it was a little bit worse, but a couple of years ago when it was super smoky, you could get tee time anywhere.
Things are fast and firm.
Yeah. Oh, they're quick up there.
Oh, I was driving it like nobody's business.
Wind gets blowing, ball gets rolling.
Wind was not a significant factor. Kicked up a little bit late in the afternoon in the round.
Okay, all right.
And if I could chip worth a damn,
we'd be feeling pretty good right now.
I would have been ecstatic, and that would have been the first thing you heard about.
Hey, would have broke 80. Could have been an 80 break, man. Could have been an 80 break. You're
certainly
right there.
Could have been.
Well, Elk Ridge is beautiful. Glad everybody had a good weekend. OAR delivered. Little guys out of a crib. That is the update from the weekend. Let's get to going here. Here's what we got coming up on the show today. Ryan Harlan, I believe, is going to make his Dirt and Sprague debut. I don't believe we've had him on.
Had young Ryan on.
But he's been listening for a long time. He covers the Beavs. The hard part about Oregon State, like, people want more Oregon State content on the show. One of the difficult parts of it is there's just not that many people that cover Oregon State. And the ones
not
that
on
do,
a regular basis.
We usually have on the show, right? Angie comes on. We'll have Doc on at some point once the year begins. But there's just not that many people who cover the program. And so Ryan is around practice. That's kind of, I don't want to get like the 30,000 foot view because I know the 30,000 foot view.
Yeah.
What's the day in and day out? What
What's
are the vibes?
Going on?
They had a player arrested this weekend.
Who, if we tune in for Houston and Texas Tech,
right. Who's standing out?
Are the potential difference makers that could, you know, make things.
Let's learn some names. Let's go on this journey together. So we'll
How
do that.
How is the quarterback battle going? Is there a quarterback battle? Is there a quarterback?
I would hope there's not a quarterback battle, but there might be. They also got the boost of the fifth-year ruling and a couple of guys coming back and joining the team. So Ryan Harlan, he's going to join us at 8:45 today. I wanted to do a little check-in with Oregon State, see how things are going. So that'll be at 8:45. We do have a full weekend of preseason football.
I did not take much of it in.
It's okay. I am your man. I am here for you.
I checked on some things. There were many, many teams that were not playing a lot of regulars. A
lot of teams that didn't play anybody. Some teams that played guys. One of the guys who played is now hurt, who we talked about. Did he play too much from last week? So there's a lot to get to. We had some contracts handed out in the NFL this weekend. One up north made somebody the highest paid ever at their position. Yes. So we got to get to that. We got some Damian Lillard audio randomly to throw at you today. And Oregon had their first scrimmage of the fall
camp.
Yes,
they did.
Happened on Saturday. So we got some Dan Lanning audio to play for you and some tidbits out of their first scrimmage. So that's kind of the synopsis of the show. It is going to be a fun one. Thanks for being with us. Remember, you can interact 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Let's get to going with a couple of things out of the NFL, and that is they are who we thought they were. And may God have mercy on the souls of these two fan bases. That's where we will begin, and we'll do it next. Happy Monday, everybody. Dirt and Sprague, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 6:24, happy Monday morning. All my login problems have been fixed. We're making progress. We're ready to go. Just took a little longer than it usually does. We'll talk a little. I'm going to throw a random one at you in about 20 minutes. How about Damian Lillard? When was the last time you heard from Damian Lillard? He's going to be making his Blazers second time around debut here in a couple of months on the season opener. We're about 2 months away from that. It's the end of October, man. That's right around the corner. But before we do that, and before we get to the cafe coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk a couple of tidbits out of the preseason weekend of NFL football that we just went through. And I'd like to apologize to any fan bases out there who are about to be impacted by this, because you probably know who you are. It just needs to be identified. Now, should be noted that none of what we're going to talk about is a surprise. All of it is expected. Although I did gamble on one of the teams this weekend. So, you know, maybe I'm the idiot here with a little egg on my face, and deservedly so.
Did you at least hit one leg of
I think both the unders hit, and then I took a side of a team, and they were down 24-0 at halftime. That ain't happening. We're going to lose that preseason bet, but that's okay. We'll get back on the horse a little bit later this week. A couple of quarterback situations that just I would hope you would have the ability to laugh about if you're a fan. Now, one is maybe slightly better than the other. But the tease was we are who we thought they were, and that is because we saw a couple of quarterbacks, three of them to be exact, play this weekend. And let me tell you, brother, it did not go good for any of the three. Statistically speaking, you might look at the numbers and say, well, that's not that bad of a day, right? That's, you know, it's not horrible. And then you look a little bit of context behind it. So let's start in Cleveland. Cleveland, this is for you. They had a quarterback battle going into camp where it was Shedeur Sanders versus Deshaun Watson. And, by the way, fascinating. Do you know who that Cleveland guest was on the show before us today? Coming on saying Shedeur Sanders is the most popular athlete in Cleveland. Could that possibly be true? There's no way, right?
On a Cleveland team.
On a they have good players on their basketball team. No. I know that Shedeur Sanders is a big deal. I just heard that, and I don't know. What? Okay. I get that there's the Sanders mania. It's very similar to the Tebow stuff. Like, I understand that.
You got me.
Donovan Mitchell is not a bigger deal than Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland right now.
Jose Ramirez? How can you not love Jose Ramirez?
Jose Ramirez has been multi-all-star
from
a long
the Guardians?
Time. I get it. Okay. Anyways, okay. I digress. Deshaun Watson got the start. Shador's going to start the second preseason game. And this was actually one of the games that I watched a good chunk of, because I want to say it was on Saturday morning.
I got up walking around
the house. We weren't doing a ton, and it was like, hey, look at that. Let's turn on some football. I ended up watching a good chunk of this. Crowd was great in Chicago, and I turn on the game, and it's like, all right, Cleveland's looking okay. And then Deshaun Watson has a strip sack fumble. Chicago basically changes the momentum of the game, but that doesn't matter because it's preseason. What matters is how uncomfortable Deshaun Watson looked in the pocket. His stat line was 11 of 15 for 126 yards, and you might say, okay, well, that's not that bad. And then you realize 50 yards essentially came on one screen pass that he threw to Dylan Sampson, who is going to be a problem in the Cleveland offense this year, I would imagine. And he attempted, are you ready for this? 15 pass attempts for Deshaun Watson on Saturday in his preseason debut. Do you care to guess how many traveled over 10 yards in the air? He threw one pass on Saturday that went over 10 yards in the air. Shedeur Sanders stepped in and threw maybe the most meatball interception that I have ever seen in my entire life. Wide receiver that was open, had nobody around him, a good layered throw, and it's an easy completion down the field, and instead he threw it about 10 yards over the guy's head. Looked like the ball was spinning like a helicopter propeller by the time it came down, and it was intercepted. And here is Shedeur Sanders after the game. The most popular athlete in Cleveland on the interception that he threw.
What I see, the right read, just slipped, you know. It's the right read, it just slipped. So that's what makes me be mad a little bit because of it. But, you know, any decision I make, I know it's the right decision. I just didn't execute the decision, but the right decision was made. So every day I look and I see about decision making, like, how's my decisions I'm making, and that's how I grade myself off of, you know. Obviously, turning the ball over and all that stuff is not great, you know, and it won't survive a long time in the league doing that. But as long as my eyes and my feet and everything was in the right place, being able to execute it just may happen. So I look at the positive of things, you know. I'm alive, I'm breathing. I'm able to come up here and talk to y'all, so.
Wow.
You know, I can't be that down. What I see?
If you get the I'm alive, I'm breathing, it can't be that bad after game one of the preseason. It kind of tells you all you need to know about their situation. Just, look, none of this is a surprise. Deshaun Watson, he has one more year left on his contract, and then they can get out of it after this upcoming season, in which they will get out of that contract. The Shedeur Sanders thing is hilarious to watch. A fan base trying hope and dream, and I don't know, maybe if I've been that down into the dumps for 25, 30 years as a fan, with no hope or optimism really ever at the quarterback position outside of what, maybe 1 or 2 years, a year and a half with Baker Mayfield, there's not been a lot of optimism there. Maybe I would be in that place mentally of thinking and wishing that Shedeur Sanders can become a thing. It is hilarious to see that we all knew how bad it was going to be. It looked as bad it was going to be in week one of the preseason, and I kind of felt like, watching a good chunk of that game, any sort of viewership of the Cleveland Browns can come to an end for me. Like, we know who they're going to be this year. They'll be fine defensively. They got some okay weapons. Casey Concepcion was trash-talking a quarterback because he got him hurt earlier in training camp in practice, but nobody knows what quarterback he was talking about. They drafted another quarterback this past season in Taylen Green to add to Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders and Deshaun Watson. But I felt like watching that game, the takeaway I had, was simply that's all I needed to see. Thank you for coming, Cleveland. Good little season. I now know what the outcome of your year would be. Not that it's a surprise. And you just hope that if you're a Browns fan, you end up with a top five pick, and then you can add a good young quarterback to the mix of everything else that you've slowly built.
Yeah.
You got a lot of draft picks. Jared Verse is a nice player. Good weapons. There's literally no point in you playing football this year.
I know it's tough to take an under at 3.5.
They're higher than 3.5. I got them originally because we joked about this on the air a couple weeks ago. It was 6.5. And during the segment, I'm like, I'm literally betting that because that's going to come down. And by the time
is it 5.5 now?
By the time we looked on Friday, because we were doing some over-under looks on Friday, it was already down to 5.5. Now, I don't know if it dropped any more than that.
NFL, let's go look.
See if it's gone down further because their defense will keep them in a lot of games. They'll win. Like, remember they randomly beat the Packers last year early in the year. Like, they're going to have one or two of those where a team just kind of lays an egg or the weather's bad in Cleveland and it nullifies the offense.
Yeah, it's 5.5 right now at plus 150.
I'm hammering the under there. Even at 5.5.
We'll have to start going.
Your quarterback situation is so bad. Deshaun Watson just can't do it anymore. But they can't cut him at this point of his career because he's got one more year left.
No, they can't have all that whatever dead money is left.
You technically can. I don't know. Maybe it's a symbolism thing.
They just need to wait, clear the debt. If they had a viable solution.
There's no viable solution. The drafting of Dylan Gabriel, I love Dylan Gabriel in his 1 year at Oregon, man. He was a ton of fun to watch. He's 5'11". Like, it's just not going to work. And they took him so early and then took Shador later.
He's not Doug Flutie.
You draft Shador Sanders, and that creates this headache of the whole reason why teams didn't want to touch him is this dumb narrative that he might be the most popular athlete in Cleveland. Based on what?
Based on what?
Based on what? Having his jersey retired at Colorado? Like, I hope I'm never that in the dumps as a fan that I get to that point where I'm like hoping and praying that he becomes a thing because that's where evidently Cleveland fans are at. He's going to end up playing a decent amount of football this year. If I'm Cleveland, I think what serves you best is you give Deshaun Watson, like, I think it's dumb to even start Deshaun Watson, but he's going to be end up being named their starter. You give him the first 3 weeks of the season, it will be a disaster, and then you sit his ass down and you bring in Shador for the rest of the year. And you let the train completely come off the tracks like that. If I'm Todd Monken, he won't want to admit that publicly. We all know Cleveland's going to be in a position to take a quarterback in the draft next year. That's going to be their long-term plan. They traded down with Jacksonville a couple of years ago. They just had the Myles Garrett trade. Like, they've been stockpiling draft picks, and the future assets are not that bad. And the rest of the pieces on the roster are not that bad. They just probably have the worst quarterback room in the entire National Football League. And when you have that, there's only so much you can do.
There's only so much you can do.
And so I would run Shador out there.
I saw that with the Vikings last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could be as good everywhere else, but your quarterback's going to limit you, and you're only going to win 9 games because of it.
Yeah.
Even though you have maybe the best wide receiver in the National Football League. You need to make sure that the Shador stuff runs its course this season. You got to get him out there and have it look as bad as it could look, because then it will break the will of the fans who think that Shador Sanders can become something. So, Cleveland, thank you for coming. Your season is over after 1 week of preseason football. I feel safe eliminating you from the playoff conversation. Remember this for January if they end up shocking everybody, because it is the NFL, and go ahead and point at laugh at me, but I'm going to go ahead and eliminate them on August 17th. Let's go from that quarterback situation to one other that was on display on Friday night. I turned the game on. I'm excited. I did gamble on the game. I might have a problem. Don't worry about it. And I'm watching, and it could not have gone more hysterically awful than it possibly did. And that was the Atlanta Falcons, I believe, were down 24-0 at halftime. There was about a 99-yard pick six that was involved in the mix here.
Oh, okay.
Their starting quarterback for the game was Tua. Our guy Tua is in the lineup, getting ready to go. We talked about this on Friday, and I said, if he can't handle preseason football, we got some problems here.
Tua Tagovailoa.
He threw a total of 5 passes in the game. 0 attempts from Tua traveled over 5 yards in the air.
Yeah.
All 5 were thrown underneath, as you can imagine with that stat. He averaged -0.2 air yards per throw. And, oh, by the way, he fumbled the shotgun snap on top of it. And so all the things that we saw from Tua in Miami of he can't push the ball down the field. He gets a little lackadaisical in the pocket. There's ball security issues constantly with him. Like, every red flag that you would have had from his time in Miami was on display in the first preseason game. Now, it was a very small sample size. He didn't play a ton. The saving grace, at least, you have here if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, and I don't know where the optimism is on Penix, But he was so good in college that I would say if I were a Falcons fan, I would still be holding out just a smidge of hope. First 2 years certainly have not gone great. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. When he's been healthy, it hasn't looked very good. So there's not a lot to necessarily lean on. But at least in Atlanta, watching Tua be that bad as we all could have imagined he was going to be, because that's how bad he's been now for a minute.
Yeah, it makes the decision pretty simple for Stefanski.
Like, we know if he's healthy, we know who their starting quarterback will be. Yeah. It will be the guy you took in the top 10 two drafts ago, and Tua should be your backup insurance policy, because if he's playing, it's going to be a disaster for you. We just know that it will be. He was in a good offense with good wide receivers. Now, those guys ended up getting banged up, but his offensive-minded head coach was pretty solid. And he got benched for Quinn Ewers last year. This is who he is, and this is the direction the rest of his career is going to go. And so at least you got the Michael Penix thing. It did create a hilarious gif or meme or whatever we're calling it now on the sideline where Tua sat down. They're down 7-0. I believe he had just fumbled a shotgun snap, like literally just couldn't catch the snap. You're down 7-0 early in the game, and there's a camera on the sideline that's filming the back of Tua sitting on the bench, and Michael Penix kind of walks into the frame, and he's talking to somebody else off of the frame and does a, like, point and look, but somehow he's alluding to Tua. I don't know if somebody's asking him to get Tua's attention. Nobody knows the context behind it, but it has led to so many hilarious, like, you brought this guy in? This was your answer, yeah. Quarterback? This was your choice to go after? And it could not have gone any worse. And I said on Friday, like, preseason football leads to some bad takes. We'll see who wants to go extreme on the Ty Simpson stuff. We'll get to that a little bit later, because he certainly looked great. Like, he's the next Tom Brady. We got to do it.
He was slinging it.
I will say, I'm happy if you play well in preseason, because that, all right, at least you're handling your business. You look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Gives me a little bit of hope going into the year. If you're bad in preseason football against essentially backups on the other side, and you're having a hard time, like, connecting.
I'm scratching my head going, okay, is there more to the story here? Is there a brand new OC that's trying to reinvent the offense completely, and we're just going through the growing pains in public?
Right.
Okay, fine. I'll grant you. Okay.
If we can't catch a shotgun snap.
If we've got continuity and all, you know, we coming back from a significant injury and we got to kick off some rust.
Right.
Okay.
It's like.
But Tua.
The idea of not throwing any passes more than 5 yards in the air in a preseason game is just hilarious to me to think about. Like, are you just trying to save your job? Are you trying to protect your stat? Like, you don't want to turn the ball over? Like, the whole point of preseason and joint practices, and like, it's all about getting reps and figuring out what you can and can't do. Like, we'll talk about Jackson Dart a little bit later on in the show, because he took a shot and he's all butthurt that they're making him going into the concussion tent, which, you know, I get, and I also understand the NFL side of it. Like, you are a bit of an idiot and you've had some concussion issues so far in your NFL career. But he came back into the game and he threw a touchdown pass on a throw that you would have, if you were a Giants fan in a regular season game, been screaming at your television, no, 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 no. But he's rolling out, like, let's extend the play, see where it goes, kind of throws it cross body, back of the end zone. His guy makes a jumping catch. It was one of the nicer highlights of the weekend. And it came after he exited the game. And I watched that, and I just thought, that's what the preseason, that's exactly it. Go run around, make something happen, take a chance. If it gets picked off, it gets picked off. But you have these guys who are trying to protect their status and not want to turn the football over, and it just looks comically bad. So, my apologies to Browns fans for eliminating you on August 17th, although I would imagine you already came into the season knowing you were eliminated.
I would think so.
And Atlanta, look, the Tua thing, we all knew how bad of an experiment that was going to be. Like, this ain't going to work. It didn't work in Miami. It's not going to work in Atlanta. His career is over. At least in the, you got a card in your back pocket. There's the mic. Now, is the card good? Is it a two of spades or an ace of diamonds? I don't know. But you got at least a card in your back pocket that could leave you a little bit hopeful.
Bijan's watching that going, thank God I got paid.
Yeah, give me my money now.
I can last 17 weeks. If
the takeaway of Von Bijan is, man, a lot of me this year. We could have guessed going into the year, but Tua's debut in Atlanta could not have gone any worse over the weekend. There's a couple of takeaways. Bad quarterback situations in Cleveland and Atlanta going into the year. Not a lot of optimism there. Let's check in on one of our favorite sons, and we'll do that coming up next, and the idea of, don't let me do this, and do we give him enough respect for what he's already accomplished? We'll dive into that next. 105.1 FM, The Fan. Yeah, fair point at the Fan text line, 503-864-6326. It's a shame Cleveland never had the opportunity to draft a quarterback first overall and have it work and go to the playoffs, only to run him out of town for a guy with 25 sexual assault allegations. They asked for this. They absolutely did.
There will be no sympathy for the Browns.
Zero sympathy. They had sympathy anywhere before the Watson signing, I think, of like,
yeah,
God, you poor bastards. And I don't, I still have sympathy for their fans. Their fans are not the ones that are making the roster decisions and the choices and all that.
How those fans are that loyal after that much crap for so many years is beyond me.
I mean, it's the power of the NFL, right? It's the power of Cleveland losing a team and then getting a team back, and all they've known is this. And you had a guy and you let him walk out your door because you didn't want to give him a contract extension. You mortgaged your future for Deshaun Watson. But the good news, at least, and I'll reiterate this, like, things change quickly in the NFL. Like, teams go from incompetent to successful based on one hire or one draft or figuring out that position.
You won't have to have the, you know, the cash available to do it.
They have
two,
that.
You have to have the cap flexibility to
and
pull it off.
They're going to have that, I think, in the offseason. The Myles Garrett getting traded and getting picks out of it and bringing in versus contract instead of the most, right? He was the most expensive defensive player, I think, in NFL history.
Yes.
So that shakes up your cap a little bit. Oh, by the way, that fully guaranteed contract you just gave to Deshaun Watson, you can get out of after this year. And so cap flexibility will be a thing that they can lean on. They also have one of the, like, Haslam's got money. Money is not his problem. That's part of the reason they gave Deshaun Watson the, like, he had too much money to play with because you got to put all that stuff up front. It was a 100% guaranteed contract.
Yep.
So that takes
all
a
that
lot.
All that stuff goes in escrow.
Takes a lot of cash in order to do that. You just hope, like, next year is, you got to hit next year. If you land a quarterback in the draft next year,
yep,
you'll be all right, and things will start to turn around. If you whiff again, I mean, it's just then you're just kicking the can down the road the way that you always have been. And one reminder from a listener, I had this in the notes, and I just forgot to tease a little bit earlier on. The AP poll comes out at 9 o'clock this morning.
Ooh.
We got our AP poll on.
Preseason.
So we're going to have some fun with that.
Gonna on find out if
two different angles.
Giving your team a chance.
Nobody's giving us a chance. Nobody's picking us this year.
Are you more worried they won't be in the top five or that they will be number one?
I would love if they were not in the top five. That would make me so... If Oregon showed up at number six, you have no idea. I saw Lanning did an interview with... we had the guy on from Next Round Live. It's like a college football, basically, only show down south. And they he went on their show, and they asked him about, you know, the preseason hype, and is this getting too overblown and all that. And he had a hilarious line where he's basically like, yeah, I mean, I wish people would pick us to finish 137th every year, but I know that's not going to happen. We got, you know, players have to adjust to the expectation, like learn to live with it, right? Yeah. Pressure is a privilege. That's one of those talking points. So we'll have fun with the AP poll on two different fronts in terms of who are the candidates this year, and I'll remind you who it was last year, because this happens every year in college football. Also, I saw a great graphic on the teams with the longest streaks of finishing the season outside of the top 25. So the end of the season final poll, the longest streaks in college football, can you guess them? And which team is most likely to end their drought this year? So have some fun with that coming up in the final hour of the show. I forgot to tease that a little bit earlier. This was kind of a random thing that popped into my algorithm, but it was a great reminder of like, oh, that's right, basketball season is almost here. It's right around the corner. And you know, I don't know where Blazer fans are at. I'm in this mixed bag of, like, I can't stop thinking about the arena stuff. Let's get that over with. Also, we have a new coach I'm kind of excited about. Damian Lillard's returning, but he didn't get that much better, and you got too many guards on your roster, and none of it makes sense, and why did we take Young Hansen in the first round? My mind is in that kind of blender right now as a Blazer fan. But it was a good reminder of, like, yeah, we're going to get to watch this dude again here really soon in a Blazer jersey. And here is Damian Lillard. Talking on the Point Forward podcast with Evan Turner about his career and the amount of respect he's gotten.
They'll never give me credit for what I've actually done. Unless I just come out here and win the championship in Portland, and they better hope that don't happen. they better pray that I don't win the championship for the Blazers.
And that's very true. And
they better pray because they better pray I don't win the damn championship.
And it is, I think it's a fair point in his regard about not getting the amount of credit that he deserves for his career. I think we've gotten so caught up in modern basketball. Like, Russ just retired, and Russ is an all-time great. I think I saw of the, maybe it was Bill Simmons who had it, players with 20,000 points, 7,000 rebounds, and 7,000 assists.
Short list.
It's three guys in the history
Magic
of the NBA.
And
it was LeBron, Magic, and I think Russell Westbrook, but don't quote me on that. But I know Westbrook and LeBron were two of the guys. And it was another guy who retired of like, and we certainly gave him his flowers, and he deserved his flowers, and maybe that was the take from the majority of the national media. But when you live in this championship culture and it's that or bust, Yeah, no, it's not. The three all-time are LeBron, Oscar, and Russ.
Oh.
If you lower it to 20,000 points, 6,000 rebounds, and 6,000 assists,
okay,
there's only 5 more.
Magic?
Magic is not on the list.
Did he not score that many points?
I don't know if it was the points or the rebounds. I'll look up his all-time totals. Maybe I'm sure. I mean, the early retirement probably impacted that, right? Like, that's if he had gone for a couple of more years.
Does Clyde go into that list?
Clyde's in the list. Havlicek's in the list. Uh-huh. James Harden, CP3, and Kobe. So there are only 7 guys in the history of the NBA who have 20,000 points, 6,000 rebounds, and 6. I mean, that's a very exclusive group. But I do think the ring culture stuff impacted the legacy of Russ a little bit. And he was a guy who, in the back end of his career, has bounced around team to team trying to land on one. And it just didn't go to the Lakers, doesn't work. Go to the Clippers, doesn't work. And it wasn't always his fault that they didn't win. But it's a sad state, I think, at times when we can't. And I know we certainly do in this market. Like, we've always wished that Dame had more help and that you made an aggressive trade. And we didn't hold on to C.J. McCollum for 5 years too long, and we got rid of him when we should have. And maybe we traded away the first-round picks that turned into Shaden and Scoot to try and give him an opportunity to win, because we certainly don't feel great about Shaden and Scoot right now. But of just, like, we have a hard time, I think, in modern sports respecting and acknowledging great careers unless it comes with a championship. And this exists in multiple sports, primarily NFL quarterbacks and basketball
franchise.
Like, those are the two ones that if Shohei Ohtani had never won a World Series, he's got back-to-back now, but let's just play the game out.
If he played his whole career in Anaheim.
Doesn't leave, resigns, all the numbers are the same. Like, there's nobody that's like, but he didn't do it. He didn't win a title. Nobody's making that argument. That's not out there. And so I don't know what it is about just those two specifics, the basketball star and the quarterback, but we hold them to a much stronger standard of winning and excellence. And I do think Dame is right. I think there's a segment of the NBA fan base that will never give him the credit he deserves for the career that he has had. And it's a simple reminder in both cases, whether it's a quarterback or a star basketball player, of like, you can't do it on your own. And it takes a village. I'll use one guy as an example. He might go win another championship this upcoming year. They're certainly the favorites to do it in their sport. Matthew Stafford is the prime example of this. Now, Matthew Stafford had Calvin Johnson to throw to in Detroit, so that certainly helped his numbers, and he put up a lot of prolific numbers. Matthew Stafford literally never won a playoff game. His entire career in Detroit, never won a playoff game. He goes to L.A., and the first year, what happens? He wins a championship, right? Like, just like, oh, look at that. Now he's a Hall of Famer. Now he's a lock. He was always that player. He was always capable of doing that. It wasn't his fault that Detroit couldn't win playoff games or get over the hump or be more consistent. They were the Detroit Lions, and they made a lot of bad hires at head coach over the years. And so I will always be frustrated and angry with the franchise for not doing more in the prime of Dame's career. But just seeing that clip, and I ended up watching a bit of the podcast that he did, and it was a fun conversation with Evan Turner, who's getting more and more into media, very active on social media now, praising the weather we had in Portland over the weekend. Of like, I don't know what impact he's going to have. I don't know what percentage you're going to get from Prime Dame. And I do have questions about the adjustment of playing off the ball a little bit more and having Denny and Jaw handle the rock a ton. And so he's going to have to play a little bit of a different style than he has the majority of his career. We'll see if he can kind of translate that and continue to have a high level of success. No matter how it goes, that opening night, because their first game's at home, right? They open at home.
Yeah, against
Phoenix, yeah. The crowd pop with the starting lineup intro.
Should be good.
It's going to be incredible. And we've had to go through a lot of bad stuff as Blazer fans, including the trade and the forced trade of Damian Lillard, all the arena stuff happening. Like, I'm just painting a picture for you. About 2 months from now, we're getting good reports out of the city council team meetings, which, by the way, they're meeting today, so that's a good sign. You're getting like little tidbits of like, yeah, we're making progress. And then you get that opening night. Things could feel a lot better as a Blazer fan in about 2 months. Very excited to see him in the Blazers jersey again, and it was fun to hear from him over the weekend. He is correct. We don't give him the respect he deserves from his career. We got a lot to get to. In hour number two, we check in with Oregon. They had their first scrimmage of the fall. What are the reports out of it? A funny clip from Dan Lanning in the post-scrimmage media scrum. So we'll get to that coming up in the next hour. Let's start, though, with the cafe. Take a look. We saw history in one sport. We got a new YouTube channel we got to talk about in the cafe today. We need to make fun of this guy. He's the best in the sport, but we need to make fun of this guy a little bit more. We'll dive into the cafe, hour number two next. Dirt Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.